On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Sweet Tuesday morning, came on your smile.
Tuesday afternoon.
Who told tomorrow? Tuesday's a day.
Girl in the cut, she chooses.
Sun comes up, it's Tuesday morning.
Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
What are you doing here?
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I thought you were going shopping. What are you doing here? I thought you were going to listen to the news. Why are you listening to this? I just can't figure you out at all. I really can't, but thanks for stopping by. This is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am the person to whom they refer to in the title of the damn thing. It's a pleasure to be with you on this fine... Is it Tuesday? Well, this is the first day of March 2022. Is it too? Pleasure, as always. Look, you don't have to contribute to this at all. You don't have to call me. You don't have to look up any numbers. You just sit there, shut up, and I will take care of the rest. I will drive the bus. You and I have no relationship whatsoever. This is not the way that's supposed to be. I don't know you. You don't know me. No gifts. We don't swap spit. I mean, everything is very above board. No problems. Nobody talks behind anybody's back. Nobody does anything to anybody else. Nobody physically harms anybody. Okay? Those are the rules. Social distancing-wise, you could be like 500 miles away, and that would be perfect. Thank you so much. Yesterday, I started not to wear masks anymore. And that clown mask was really, like, stupid-looking. But I never understood. You're just supposed to wear it across your mouth. I did the full mouth. I did the mask from Scream. That freaked people out. But at least, you know, I didn't get the flu or anything. So no more mask. I live in Massachusetts. They've dropped the mask mandate, so kids don't have to wear masks anymore. But I do want to remind them, you do have to wear pants. That's still part of the mandate. Jason Shaw does our opening theme, wrote that for us. Thank you, Jason Shaw. John Shanahan is our opening announcer. He also closes the announcing, and he does many of the comedy bits on the program. Ed O'Rourke does frequent contributions, although it's been a while. And Nicole Reed is the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. Is she really British? No, I don't think so. She also sets up many of the national interviews that we do on the program on a show basis. Thank you so much, everybody. And thank you to you for sitting there and being quiet while I do this thing. I really appreciate that. We do this every single weekday. I've been doing it for 30 years. Basically started on radio, ended up on radio and podcasting. I don't even know what podcasting is, but I think I'm doing it. I don't even know what it is. It's like cryptocurrency. I have no idea. I can say the words, but I have no idea what it is. I don't understand the purpose of it. I don't understand why we need it, but whatever the case may be. That's my shtick, by the way. I grumble. Did you know grumble is a word? I didn't know it. I don't think you can use it in Scrabble, can you? But I grumble a lot. That's basically my shtick. And shtick isn't a word either, by the way. No, it's not. Yeah, can you bend down and pick up that shtick for me? Ron, that's stick. No, it's shtick. I'm pretty sure it's a shtick. No, that's not a shtick. Anyway, Mardi Gras coming someday. I don't know when. But today is Fat Tuesday. Happy Fat Tuesday to you. By the way, do not go around walking up to people saying Happy Fat Tuesday. They may not understand what you're talking about, and you may get slapped. It's not a complimentary thing. I don't know what it means. I've never been to New Orleans. I can't eat their food. It's way too salty. Way too salty. Can't do it. And it's all Creole. Is that a language, too? I don't even understand. There's a lot of shrimp involved. That's all I know. A lot of seafood. I don't understand that either. But I can't eat their stuff. And also, it is Fat Tuesday. And in Louisiana, if you said Happy Fat Tuesday, everybody would go, "Oh, okay." But outside of that state, don't do that. Do not walk up to your wife. Oh my God! This morning, as she's waking up, and say, "Hey, Happy Fat Tuesday to you." Don't do that. Stopped you just in time, didn't I? Don't wish people fat days. That's not a good thing. We're very, very sensitive about being called fat. Oh, God, don't do it. Don't do it. Nobody wants to be. We'll eat all the fast food we can, but as soon as somebody calls us fat, well, I'm not fat. Yeah, you are. But don't call them that. Don't label people. And I'll remind you, I've said this on shows recently because it's been reminded to me by my significant other many times. She's very strictly told me, do not tell me to calm down. Do not tell me to relax. Okay, listen to me. If someone came up to me and said, Ron, why don't you relax? I'd say, good idea. I'm going to go take a nap. I'm going to just take it easy right now. Thanks for letting me relax. That's like all I want to really do. But if you say that to a woman, look, will you just relax? Oh, you son of a bitch. I don't understand. I don't get it. Will you just calm down? Oh, you son of a bitch. Yes, I would love to calm down. I'm raising my hand. I'm volunteering to calm down. Come on, you can tell me that all day, and I will do it all day. Ron, just calm down. Thank you. Thank you very much. I will. I don't understand that gender gap right there. I don't get that. Why be so sensitive if someone tells you to take it down a notch? Don't do that either. No relax, no take it down a notch, no take it easy, and no Fat Tuesday, okay? If you can remember those things, you'll have a very successful life. And what's the biggest rule about getting along with somebody? It's very simple. The other person is always right. And I don't care if we're talking about same sex, different sex, whatever, mixed up sex, whatever the case may be, whatever your partner may be, do not ever, they're always right. Always, always right. You know, Ron, the earth is flat. Yes, you're right. Thank you. Don't even argue that point. Don't. The world is not flat. The world is round, haven't you? It's a globe. We've been in space and looked down on it. Well, how can you tell me it's flat?
Don't argue with me.
All right, it's flat. You're right. I was wrong.
And then just get on with it. Oh.
Ron, the Earth is flat. Will you calm down?
No, don't do that. All right, welcome to the program, by the way. It's Tuesday. Thanks for showing up. I really appreciate it. I know you could have done other things. I know you could have gone other places. I appreciate this. I really do. I'm seriously. It's coming from my heart. Thank you. All right, enough of that. There's a commercial on television that I don't understand. Can you help me with this, please? Can you help me out with this, please? Do not contact me. This is rhetorical. Can you help me out with this, please? There's a company called Progressive Life Insurance. Or Progressive Insurance. I'm sorry, forget the life part. Progressive Insurance, basically auto insurance. They do other stuff too, but that's not really what they're hawking right now. It's a car insurance thing. In one set of commercials, they have this character named Flo, and she's going around explaining life insurance and bundling to people. And I understand what bundling is. Stop trying to explain it to me. I get it. If I buy auto insurance and home insurance, it's like less expensive for both. You're going to get a discount. I get it. Stop telling me what bundling is. I'm sick of you telling me what bundling is. I'm not stupid. I got it the first time you ran the commercial. Then they have another set of commercials that has nothing to do with insurance whatsoever, and that's what I don't understand. Nothing to do with insurance. It's about younger people acting like they're their parents, and it has nothing to do with insurance whatsoever. And actually, when I watch those commercials, I have to try to remember what the commercial is for because it has nothing to do with what the commercial is about. There's one little commercial episode where there's this guy trying on pants, and the father is standing outside of the changing room, and the father says, "Try on the pants." I think it's a father. I don't even know what the hell it is. And this guy is, I guess it's his son, his middle-aged son, trying on the pants, saying, "I don't want to try on the pants, Dad." And the dad says, "Come on, try on the pants." Again, I think it's a dad-son relationship. I have no idea. And then finally, the son or whatever is comes out of the dressing room with the pants on, and the father says, "That's a good-looking pair of pants," and the commercial's over, and I have no idea what that commercial is about. It sounds like it's about pants. It's not about pants. It's about auto insurance. And every time I see it, I stand up, and I go, "What the fuck? What are you doing? What is this? Is this effective?" It's not effective. Because if I tell that to somebody, "Oh, yeah, I've seen that commercial." What is that for, by the way? I don't know. Is it a sub place? What's the commercial for? Pizza delivery? What is that? Is it for pants? No, it's for car insurance. What? What? They didn't even mention it. Well, here's my question, and I'm going to give you a fact that I believe to be a fact because I was there. So I can say that this is definitely a fact. And this becomes today's fact of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, please prepare yourselves. It is that time again for Ron's fact of the day.
That was impressive. Here's the fact. The commercial kind of hit me. It had nothing to do with auto insurance, but it hit me. When I'm trying on pants in a clothing store, and I'm talking about pants right now, I'm taking the pants off of the rack, bringing them into a tiny little room, like a photo mat booth. Millennials don't know what I'm talking about when I say that. You try on the pants, and then all of a sudden I realize from watching this commercial that I'm trying on pants that, like, dozens of other people have tried on the same pants, but they weren't washed in between. They go right back on the rack. Wait a minute. What if some of these people who are trying on these same pants, same item, same actual pair, had some type of a scabies or something, or some kind of little bug the thing going on, little crawly sexual disease things. Well, I'm putting on pants that like dozens of other people have worn. That's not sanitary. And that's what's pointed out in this pants commercial that is really about auto insurance. But it rang true to me. What am I doing walking into stores? Putting on public pants. I will tell you a story. I don't know if it's true anymore, but it was at the time. This was about, I would say, 20 years ago. That's right, I'm 20 years old. 20 years ago, I was with a radio station in the Boston area. And one of our sponsors was the Salvation Army. Good people. Not too great as far as military weapons are concerned. But they have a hell of a band. They help a lot of people with clothing, used items. It's wonderful, actually. It's the way life is supposed to be. I'm not using that anymore. Can you use this? Yes, I can. Thank you very much. A great concept, Salvation Army. So Salvation Army paid for our station and myself to go down to one of their branches and to do a show, a radio show, from their Salvation Army building. And it was a clothing store, Salvation Army clothing store. And I said, sure. I was getting paid for it. So I go there. We set up the equipment. I go there, and I'm doing a show. And I interview the manager of the Salvation Army store. I'm sorry. I can't even talk. I'm interviewing the manager of the Salvation Army store. And I'm saying, this is wonderful. This is great. And there's people in the background buying stuff and looking through the clothing on the racks, and it's fantastic. And I say to her, this manager of the Salvation Army clothing store, I say to her, this is like a wonderful concept. Now, how does this work? You take in the clothes from donations. She
said, yes, we do. Yes, we do. These are donated to us, all these clothes, wonderful people.
I said, great. And then what happens to the clothes?
Well, we put them on the rack, and people take them and buy them.
And I went a little too far. I went a little too far because sometimes my filter is in the washing machine, and I don't have one. So I say to her, I assume that when you take in the clothes from the public and they donate it, that you wash them before you put them on the rack. She says, no, we don't. That's up to the customer when they buy the clothes. You certainly should take them home and wash them before you wear them.
Oh.
And a chill fell over my producers who were standing behind me, basically saying without saying the spoken word, basically, Ron, shut up. Don't start with them. Don't make a big thing out of the fact that they don't wash the clothes when they take them in and they put them right on the rack. Ron, don't do it. But I could tell they didn't want me to pursue that, so I didn't. The show is over. We go off the air. I thank the manager for hosting us, and I say to her, "So you don't wash the clothes, huh? When they're donated, you put them right on the rack."
She said, "Yes, it's okay. That's not up to us to wash. That'd be a very, very big undertaking, and that's not. We don't have the facilities to wash all these clothes that are donated to us. We just don't. We ask the donator to wash the clothes. Or certainly, when you pick up the clothes and bring them home, you should wash them first."
It's okay. Now, I don't know if that's changed. I assume it hasn't, but that's a fact. That's what she told me. And from that day on, for about a week, because nothing changes me for a long time. But for about a week, I was very conscious about the fact that these clothes that are hanging on these racks are filthy. And people could have taken a shit in them. I really don't know. I don't know. I don't know where these clothes have come from. And all of a sudden, I'm surrounded by these germ-infested pieces of fabric, and I want it out of there. So just in case you're thinking of picking up clothes from a donation site, one of their stores, which is a wonderful idea because we can't afford real clothes these days, that's for damn sure. Wash them when you get home. That's my tip to you. If you've never learned anything from this show whatsoever, and the chances of that are actually very good, then learn this. When you put on somebody else's stuff, wash them first. This is why I don't go bowling. This is why I do not bowl. Because they insist that I wear their bowling shoes. I mean, I'm not into bowling to the point where I would have my own bowling shoes. That would have to be an indication of being a little too much into it. No, I just wear my sneakers and my regular shoes in, and there's a person behind the counter at the bowling alley and says, "What size are you?" And I say, "What, bra size or what?" "No, what size shoe?" I say, "I'm about 11 and a half." And they give me a pair of shoes, and they threw a little talcum powder in there. And my response is, I'm not putting my feet in these things that somebody else ran around and bowled. And do you wash these shoes? "Well, no, sir, we don't wash the shoes. We put talcum powder in them." And you think that's sanitary? So don't bowl.
Do you know that there is one item that can not only increase your home's beauty, but its value? That would be placemats. Hello, I'm George Karanapikopoulos, owner of George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse, your one stop for all your placemat needs. We have a placemat for every room of your house. That's right, placemats are not just for the dining room anymore. Anywhere you might make a spill, or maybe where you eat, like in front of the TV, I do it all the time like you. You want a placemat. We have fancy placemats, like in bamboo or teak. That's right, teak. Nice plastic laminate ones for no stains, even blue. We can custom make your placemats in as little as 2 weeks. Come to our showroom at the intersection of Route 27 and the Holbrook Turnpike. You're going to like what you see. Your placemat is waiting for you at George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse.
P.A. Brook joins us now. He's the author of a new book called If I Were God. I've often thought that was possible for me, but apparently not. He joins us now. This is very interesting. He's actually a CPA during the day, and at night he's a humor writer, and it's fascinating. I guess that's what happens when you're a CPA during the day. I'm sorry, that was a low blow.
No, that's okay. You know, you have to do something to brighten up your life when you're a CPA.
That's true. He's authored other, he's done other things as well, and he joins us now. I find you fascinating, and
thank you.
Yeah, because you kind of do what I do, but you do it very, very well. And that is, you take a look at everyday life, the things that people with blinders on don't really see. You see them, and you say something about it.
Well, yeah, that's right. And, you know, I've enjoyed writing despite being a CPA all my life. And, you know, I had an If I Were God moment one day as I was opening junk mail and wondering why I get so much of it every single day. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing some research. I wrote some things down, and then I just started making a list of things that bothered me. And started having some fun with it, and next thing you know, I had a book.
Incredible. If some
of the topics are lighthearted, but some of them are very serious.
Yeah. When did you start writing this book, may I ask, or start jotting down ideas?
I probably 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, I was working for part of the time as I was writing this book, being a CPA. Mm-hmm. I'm now retired. So it took a while to write. But I would just make a list of things that bothered me that night or on weekends, start writing it.
It's interesting because things do change so quickly that nothing seems to be current unless you do stick with the stuff that is just social, you know, mores and habits that we have.
Yeah, there's a chapter in here on I call them BS studies. They're research studies about, you know, useless things And I came across an article on Sunday in the local newspaper that basically had a study about fish, and one species of fish changes sex when it has to, which is, do we really need to research that to be better human beings?
I kind of wish I could do that, but I...
well, maybe not.
And I mean that in a theoretical sense.
Well, of course.
You also have a great way of titling your books. Your prior book, and I can say this, actually, prior book is called Oh Shit, I'm Over 50 and Single, A Guide for Mature Men and Women That They Date. Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't read that?
Well, I mean, hopefully people over 50 or single would read it. I mean, it was, I had a lot, I was over 50 and I was single and I was in between relationships and decided to give up for a while and just, you know, sat there, what am I going to do now? Well, I always wanted to write. So I started writing stories about my dating exploits and what went wrong. And, you know, I had gone through a lot of therapy and understood why my relationships had failed previously. And I just started not only a memoir, but advice and advice for guys as well as women. But it is geared towards guys because I'm a guy and I'm trying to help them out. And there's there are no books out there helping men, but men usually aren't going to go out there and look for that kind of advice because they think they know it.
Correct.
Already, which correct. I certainly didn't, so right. I needed the help.
Yeah. No, it's like asking for directions. You just don't do that.
You don't do
you
that.
Just don't
sorry.
Do that. Yeah.
Sorry, honey, I know where I'm going. Five right. hours later, where are we?
Right. Of course, if you're alone, you'll stop, but otherwise...
Yeah, well, right, right, exactly. Yeah. Thank God for GPS on our phones
now. I know. Yeah, now we don't have to go through that. It's interesting. You also claim that it's probably a good idea that we start using some new curse words. most of them have been around forever. How many times can you hit your thumb with a hammer and say the same yes. thing? So you had some ideas as to actually changing this up.
Well, that's one of the fun chapters. Yeah. And because, you know, people have problems with cursing. I don't, obviously. If you read my book, you find it very colorfully written.
Just by the title of the other one, yeah.
Yeah, and I just had some fun with it. Uh-huh. And, you know, I went through some of the history of cursing, some interesting names, like real names of places and people that make you wonder what were the parents thinking or what was the mayor thinking when he named his, you know, his city, you know, after Climax. I mean, there's 21 cities named Climax in this country. Yeah, it's like, I know it has two meanings, but don't you think people are going to take the other one sometimes?
Always, yeah.
Yeah, so I came up with four curse words, which I guess on your show will not excuse me.
Yeah, we're good. We're good on that.
Require FCC fines in the future.
<we're fine. laughs>
But I basically took all the 2,000 curse words and narrowed them down into four: Kelp, Karm, Zektu, and Ogulkus.
Oh,
they sound bad, but you know, so did the F word and so did selfie when it first came out.
But these words are not connected to other meanings.
As far as I know, no.
Okay.
I tried to make them up totally, and I created their own meaning.
Quail sex and fish farts. What the hell's going on there?
That's exactly my question. What the hell's going on there? Who cares that fish fart? I mean, do you know that barnacles have the largest penis relative to their size of their body in all the species in all the world? It's 8 times bigger than they are.
Really?
Do the math. What are you going to do with that?
Wow.
There are so many studies out there that try to, I guess, claim that they can help humanity. But a lot of them, you know, so many studies end with a conclusion that, more research is needed in this area. And they're studying quail sex and fish farts.
Yeah.
It's just a waste of a lot of money, and I think it needs to go away.
Probably.
Study stuff that's going to benefit humans.
Yes. And those things don't. I'm going to just name a couple of categories of which I totally agree with you, and most people probably do. Like, why aren't we doing this? What do we do about automated customer service? Yeah. Where to stick junk mail? That seems like a physical thing. Why golf isn't a sport, which is absolutely accurate. Why should we get rid of the penny? I mean, these are subjects where we go through this every day, and you kind of actually say, well, wait a minute.
You know, half the topics are probably fun things like the penny and junk mail and automatic customer. I should say fun, but not, you know, They're everyday things that everybody would agree with.
Yeah.
Then there's a lot of topics in there that are very controversial. I mean, I talk about gun control. Mm-hmm. I talk about organized religion. Mm-hmm. And I guess my point with especially the serious topics was to have some fun with them, make them humorous, make parts of it humorous, at least the gun control chapter I talked about. The NRA went away. What mm-hmm. would it be replaced with? Well, maybe, you know, the Blow Dart Association of America. Maybe that's how we would kill people. You know, so I was hoping to inject a little humor into the topic, and maybe it makes it a little easier to talk about going forward, and we can be rational about how we debate these things.
I see what you're doing. That's pretty cool. Yeah, there's no question about it. And golf is not a sport, my God. I mean, Lord.
I'm a golfer. I'm not a good golfer, but again, you know, I had fun with that. I hypothesized what golf originally looked like back in the Stone Ages when, you know, the hazards on the course were natural, like dead animals.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, and what was par back then? Probably 40, not four. So I just had some fun with it and some of the terminology there. And, you know, I concluded that golf could stay a sport, but curling had to go.
I think all sports are absolutely kind of odd when you look at them. I mean, you're talking about golf, guys in pastel pants standing there with a stick. And then baseball, grown men standing on a field in their pajamas. It's just, the whole thing is just odd when you stop and look at things in a different way.
Yeah, and they get paid a tremendous amount of money.
Yeah,
they do. Because of the way society has evolved, not because they benefit society.
So this is your second book that you've released, is that right?
That's correct.
So I assume that a writer, especially who is no longer CPA-ing, I don't know if that's a verb, but it probably is.
Yeah, we'll make it one.
Sure. What the hell? What are you working on now?
Well, you know, as I was finishing up this book, you know, other things were coming to mind in terms of things that, you know, bother me. And I said, well, you know, I could do a sequel.
Sure.
You know, so and to your point about being so politically charged today and how things change so rapidly, you know, once I start creating a list, I'm sure that the topics will flow and there won't be much difficulty in coming up with new ideas about things that I would like to change in the world.
Yeah. You got to write it quick though, because things are so fluid that by the time you get the thing out to the public, I mean, something may have been changed in a major way and then I spent all that time.
Right. Well, that's true. I mean, they could have stopped minting pennies from the time I started writing this to the time
I
finished.
Correct. So, in which case, you'd be a hero. So,
well, I could take credit.
That's right. Which is a whole different series of books. I think someday you're going to have a wing of a library someday, I have a feeling.
you're very kind to say that.
Well, you know, it just seems like it's possible. The book just goes through tons of different subjects, and you'll find that you'll connect with them. It's available everywhere, I assume.
Yeah, you know, it's on Apple, it's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the retailers out there. Also, if you go to my website, PA Brook, there's a link to it there as well. And my website has some articles where you can get a flavor for how I write. They're free, you know, just fun topics to talk about.
Cool.
The Mile High Club, I have a fun article on that. Mm-hmm. I talked about dating, dads dating, you know, when their daughters. I have a fun story about my daughter on there. Again, if you like my writing style, then maybe you go further and you click on the link to the book.
Great. Okay. And do you have a website that people can visit?
Yes, I'm sorry. It's pabrook.com.
Oh, that's easy.
Also, I on Twitter at author PA Brook. Both of those places you'll see, you know,
wonderful.
Again, interesting things that I put out, and hopefully you get a flavor for my writing style and like it.
Great. It's the short title is If I Were God by P.A. Brook. Also, probably there's If I Were God by Donald Trump, but that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. thank you so much for your time today. It's been fascinating, and maybe we'll hook up again and see what else is on your mind in the near future.
Great, Ron. I really appreciate the time. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. But until that time occurs, I'm going to have to wish you peace. Have a good day. Fat Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen. Stop eating so much.